Hello. Welcome to the My Empty Hands podcast. I am Reggie Darden and have Vern and Lindsay with me today. So this is going to be one of the bonus episodes, and so we're actually not going to talk Kenpo on this episode. We're going to be talking about my other core art, my other love in the world, and that is Capoeira. So I'm just real excited to do some Capoeira talk. I fortunately have not been training as much as I used to and should be, but you know, I'm definitely, you know, getting out there, getting into the holdas when I can and enjoying that. So just to kind of kick things off, I'll give a little bit of my background. Typically, mention my Kenpo journey, but I'm actually going to start with my Capoeira journey on this. And in the 90s, I saw a little film that nobody's ever heard of called Only the Strong, and instantly fell in love with Capoeira, and I just knew I had to do that. And so started looking around for a Capoeira school. I was living in San Diego at the time, and strangely enough, could not find a Capoeira school, which I now know that there's actually quite a few Capoeira schools in San Diego. But I like to say that I guess I wasn't ready for Capoeira. Capoeira wasn't ready for me at that time. So I didn't get to train at that time, though. You know, that was early to mid 90s. So we fast forward to 2007, November of 2007. I was living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and did my annual rewatching of Only the Strong. And I was like, oh yeah, what did ever happen with that Capoeira thing? I gotta find one of those things again. And so I did happen to find a school. However, the timing was not good because this was probably about a week, maybe a couple of weeks before I moved from the Dallas area to Reno. So, you know, I found the school, but I wasn't gonna be living there anymore. So when I got to Reno, Capoeira was really fresh in my mind. So I was like, maybe let me see if maybe I can find something out here. And I did happen to find someone that that was teaching, and I got hooked up with him and started the Capoeira life right from there. And just been enjoying it ever since. The intensity level has you know, gone up and down over the years, just depending on, you know, where I was at or who I got to train with. But as of this recording, in November, I will be coming up on 17 years in Capoeira, so pretty excited about that, and just looking forward to what's coming next. So you know, now that we have this podcast here, I can get to talk with people I know and people I don't know, and just, you know, I love hearing about the stories and the journey. So that's, you know, that's why we're here. So if you could go ahead and let's see how we want to do this. I would say give your Capoeira name, and then just jump right into, you know, how did Capoeira find you? How did you get started? And we'll just kind of go from there.
Okay. Liao Preto is my Capoeira name. And I started in 2006. So 1 year before you started your journey in Capoeira, I started mine. I was living in Chicago at the time. And I had finished undergrad the year before. And all through undergrad, I worked out, and I've been working out for years before then, but never really had the opportunity to get into a martial art. And I remember looking around and asking people if they knew about martial arts classes in the city. And a friend handed me a flyer and told me to check out this class. It was being offered at 95th and State Street at Abbott Park. And I went to the class and I saw what looked like this combination of breakdancing and martial arts. And I said, this is it. And then when I learned more about the history of it having roots within enslaved Africans in Brazil, that really hit home for me. I was an African-American studies major in undergrad, and I had studied African diasporic movements and resistance movements, but never came across capoeira in my studies. And when I came across that and saw the connection, I just said, I had to do this. And so it's been a part of my life since 2006, about 18 years now.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, has capoeira been the only martial art that you've been involved with? Or?
I've tried Taekwondo, and that's about it, really. But capoeira has been the only one that I've been consistent with. I took like one or two classes in Taekwondo.
Gotcha. And so what kind of keeps you, you know, training all these years? You know, for me, I really like, you know, all the aspects. You know, I think a lot of people get drawn into just the physical. They want to do the flips and you know, that sort of thing. For me, I like all the aspects. I like the history. I like the music. I like, you know, even though, so I was, you know, very, and I would say I'm still a super shy person, but, you know, singing the songs, you know, leading holdas and whatnot is, I you know, was drawn to all of that aspects. And, you know, yeah, doing the cool kicks and the cool flips and stuff like that, even though I'm not doing so many of those big moves, but I really love the movements and the music and the history and the culture and the people and just all of the different aspects. So, you know, is that similar for you, or, you know, what keeps you training and keeps you moving?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it is. It's the music, it's the history, it's the movements. I've used it in interactions with students from all the way to kindergarten up to college level. And it's been a great tool to build community and create awareness. And I also have three children of my own. And so I want them to see that, you know, capoeira is something that I've started from a younger age, and I'm continuing to do it now. And the opportunity to be able to pass that on to them is a part of the motivation that keeps me. But, you know, above all, it's really something that I connect to with the history of it. And then the fact that it encourages me to stay in shape. You can't do capoeira if you're struggling to do very basic movements with your legs. You got to really train hard in order to keep up with it.
Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly on that. It's I like to joke, or, you know, say that you know, in the other arts that I've trained, you know, we've had these really intense workouts and just drenched in sweat and whatnot. And then when I got involved in capoeira, it's like, have this really intense workout, and it's like, oh, well, like that was just a warm up. Like, we haven't started class yet.
Yep.
I'm just like, oh, wait a second. Like, I'm beat. I'm tired. We haven't even started class yet. Like, whew. Yeah.
That's what it does for you. It encourages flexibility and strength. And yeah, so it's something that I really connect with.
It works the whole body. I mean, mm-hmm. Probably the first 6 months of my training, I dreaded the fact that I lived in a townhouse with you know, lots of stairs. I would you know, come home from class and it's like, okay, I'm just gonna lay on the stairs. I can't make it up to, mm-hmm. because everything is sore. My from my toes to my hair. My hair is sore. It's such a huge huge difference compared to, you know, kind of your traditional, you know, karate or taekwondo, or, you know, you just work every bit of it. So.
Yeah, every part of your body, even the brain with the music.
You've got to
really embrace that all of those elements are what makes capoeira unique.
Exactly. So for those that don't know, in capoeira, we all get our nicknames, our apelidos, our war names, and some groups like to use. So can you go ahead and give us the story of how you got your name and what that all means for?
Yeah, so when I first started capoeira, I started with a Cordal de Ouro group, and they gave me the name Peixe, which means fish. And so for years, I trained under this name, and that's what I developed a reputation as. And I think at the time, the teacher explained to me it was equivalent to how in the States we may say, "What's up, cat?" or "What's up, homie?" whatever. It was just kind of slang for, you know, another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I got connected with UCA through Mr. Calongo, then the name changed to Leal Preto, because I was leading a school, which Leal Preto means black line. I was leading a school. I have dreadlocks. The movement and the community that we were building was definitely pro-black, definitely trying to encourage more people of African descent to participate in the art form. And so that name kind of stuck with me in terms of my contributions, the way I looked when my hair is down, looks like a mane, and then the focus of the work that we were doing with capoeira in the city of Chicago.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. In my case, so my name is Negal.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that don't know, it's essentially big black man.
Mm-hmm.
So even though this is an audio podcast, if you were to see me, you would be like, oh, no, that name doesn't fit at all. But I kind of laugh. So I actually didn't have a name until about 4 years in. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a name. And then I got like four or five of them in about the span of, I don't know, 2 or 3 months.
Mm.
But Negal was the one that stuck, which I'm glad, because some of the other ones I think were kind of common. I had like a Gato Preto for a while. I had a Urso Preto, and it was like, okay, that's kind of, a lot of people have kind of that or something. Mm-hmm. Kind of simple like that, and I was like, I don't really, I want something else. But
mm-hmm.
Wasn't until Mr. Gallego started calling me that it finally stuck. So I was pretty happy with that. And
mm-hmm. Are you in Denver now?
I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
You're
now
in Dallas, okay?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Did you used to live in Denver or no?
No. So I lived in Reno, and as I was training, so my instructor, I don't know a good way to, really a great way to put this, but there were times where he kind of checked out, and there would be times where we would show up for class and it's like, okay, instructor's not here. He's not answering his phone. He's not answering any text or email. Mm-hmm. Who's going to teach class? And so in the class at the time, there was one other guy that had been training longer than me. Maybe he had maybe about 6 months or a year more than I did. but he would not be interested. Sometimes he would kind of take over. For the most part, he was not interested in leading the class. Since I already had some martial arts experience, I was like, well, I guess I'll kind of step in. I mean, at the time, I mean, I only had probably about six or seven months of training at the time, or training in Capoeira at the time. So I was just like, okay, well, we're just doing like karate drills, you know. I just kind of did what I knew, you know, karate drills with a Capoeira sprinkled in. And, you know, that kind of worked to kind of keep the ship afloat. And then the instructor would come back and we would, you know, continue on. And you know, I would get more training and whatnot. Just whenever I could get the chance to go to Sacramento or to Berkeley to train with the maestres, I would go, and we would, you know, take whoever else wanted to go with us, and we would just try and get as much of that as we could. Then we got to a point where kind of I was, you know, leading the charge a little bit more than our instructor. And we were at this kind of point where we were officially, unofficially part of the UCA. So, you know, Mestre Accordion, Mestre Swelly, they kind of kept an eye on us, but we weren't kind of full on part of the UCA at that point. But, you know, we wanted to be. So at the time, Mr. Gallego in Sacramento was, you know, was part of the UCA, and he kind of took on kind of being our mentor and kind of looking after us. And so I was, you know, kind of under his wing. He took me on as his little kind of Jedi Padawan. And so I just kind of trained with them as much as I could. And we would just kind of keep going.
Okay. I made the mistake. I thought you said Gallo, not Gallego. I understand now. Oh, Sacramento.
Oh. Well, okay. I'm kind of taking the long way around, but getting to the Denver connection. So, you know, I was kind of, you know, moving along over the years, and, you know, increasingly kind of taking more charge of our group. And then in 2016, I had to leave. I left Reno and moved back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I still wanted to keep Capoeira going, still wanted to keep training. But I was in a different position. So in Reno, our group was the only game in town. In Dallas area here, there are a few Capoeira groups already established. So when I got here, it's like I wanted to continue teaching and continue training, but I felt I didn't really feel that I was in a good position to do that. One, because, you know, I don't know how to start a group. You know, I had inherited the group I was part of, so I didn't know how to start one. And then I also felt I was conflicted because, you know, all right, here I am, you know, I'm not a professor, I'm not, you know, not really technically an instructor, you know, and here, you know, there are, you know, groups with professors and mestres leading. It's like, well, I don't want to quote unquote compete with these established folks. So I would just kind of, I didn't really pursue trying to start something here, so I would just kind of bounce back and forth between the different schools. I had the idea of just go ahead and transitioning over to one of these other groups, but there was something missing, or just something that it just didn't really fit right for me. So, you know, I never officially joined any of the the other schools. So I just, you know, kind of just do my training and just, you know, do what I needed to do at one point. Well, at one point I ended up talking to Mr. Corleone, and, you know, I explained my situation, and I was like, well, you know, what should I do? Should I, you know, transfer to another group? Should I try and start my own thing, whatever? And he was just like, capoeira is capoeira. Just train. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, if you stay as part of the UCA, if you go to another thing, you know, just train. Mm. So that kind of cleared my mind a little bit. And I thought about it, and I decided, you know what, I do want to stay part of the UCA. And, you know, if I have to start something, then I guess I'll do that. So I decided that I wanted to kind of recommit back to capoeira. And I was like, well, you know, kind of first thing that I need. Well, I talked to Mr. Gallego in Sacramento, and at that time learned that, you know, he was no longer part of UCA. So, but he was like, well, you know, kind of the first thing that you need is, you know, you need a teacher, or you need to find somebody to be under. And he's like, you know, I'm happy to do that for you if you want, but if you want to stay part of UCA, you have to, you know, understand that I'm not part of that anymore. So I, you know, had to think about it a little bit, and, you know, as much as I love Mr. Gallego, I still wanted to stay in the UCA umbrellas. So then I reached out to the other maestres, and Maestro Berengela in Denver.
Okay.
Agreed to take me under his wing. And I've, you know, always kind of had, you know, we've had different conversations over the years and stuff. And I always felt that he gets me, and we kind of connect, and we have kind of a similar story in that he didn't really kind of have a capoeira home for a lot of the years that he was training. So we just kind of really connected, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, if you know, I'll be happy to be your mestre, and you know, we'll kind of do this kind of remote things. So I am under his wing at this point. So
okay.
So that, you know, that's where I am, and he's the one that I call my mestre. So
okay.
So yeah, I've just been, and then just as far as kind of trying to start something here, you know, it's been a struggle, but, you know, I'm still kind of doing what I can, and still connecting with the other groups, that are here. That's kind of actually one of the things that I want, to kind of get out of, you know, doing the podcasting is get all these different, you know, groups and different teachers and stuff to connect a little bit more. Unfortunately, the groups here, they don't really connect with each other that much. You know, we, you know, invite each other to events and stuff, but it's like, you know, we don't really connect more. And I would like a lot more of that unity and connections between the other groups, you know. Just because, you know, we call this group that thing, or, you know, this group is under that teacher, there's no reason why we can't all be a capoeira community. And so I'm shooting for that and trying to kind of make that happen a little bit more. But, you know, that's one of the other things that I love about capoeira is that community and being able to connect with each other. So pretty happy with that. So with your capoeira journey, have you been able to do, you know, a lot of traveling, been to Brazil and trained out there?
Yeah, I've been to Brazil several times, Sao Paulo, Salvador.
And
right now I currently live in Antigua and Barbuda.
Okay, very nice.
I've been here for 6 years. I have a very small group here.
And how has it been different as far as the way looking at kind of the way people train or maybe the people's attitudes in the United States versus, you know, in Brazil or, you know, in other places?
I think you'll hear this from many people who have traveled to Brazil. There's a different intensity to the capoeira, the game, the movements, the understanding of the history and the culture. You get that when you get to Brazil. That's why it's such a great investment for anyone who's training capoeira to go there and see it. You just learn so much. You pick up so much from other capoeiristas there. So, yes, it's very different from the U.S.
Is there anything that, you know, in your years of training, are there things that maybe you've learned about capoeira that maybe you didn't realize were going to be that way? Or so I guess I could use like an example, like people that don't train capoeira, they just see the kicks and the flips and they just think, oh, like, you know, why would, you know, anybody, you know, do that? And now as training, I understand that capoeira is much more complex than it appears. And, you know, we don't just do just kicks. There's a lot of hand techniques. There's a lot of takedowns. There's a lot, you know, there's, you know, there's that grappling element. There's a lot of strategy. You know, we don't just flip around just for the sake of flipping around. There's all these different elements to it. So kind of in your training, has there been things like that that have come up that you're like, oh, like I didn't realize that this was part of capoeira, or maybe this person isn't like, you know, I thought they were going to be, or anything like that?
Yeah. When I first started training capoeira, I didn't understand all the elements. I didn't understand the strategies that were there or how people would actually use it to fight. But as I developed, had more experiences throughout schools in the U.S. and going to Brazil, and just exposure to people of different levels, then I can see the strategy. I can see the purpose behind some of the flips. And so while, as you're saying, some of it looks like that's just a complete waste of energy, if you think about it from a strategic perspective and you think about how to use it appropriately in the horda or outside of the horda, you can find that some of those movements are very useful.
So looking at the teaching side of it, was that something that was kind of always interested you, or did you kind of fall into that as you went along? Or?
Well, the more I learned about capoeira, then I definitely did want to start taking more of a leadership role in it. And then I started teaching as a part of a Saturday school program in Chicago, just kind of randomly, not under the authorization of anyone. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job teaching. I was the physical education teacher, but this was a school that had a social justice curriculum and they wanted something like capoeira to enrich their program. And so I started teaching capoeira as gym class. And then it developed from there. I developed a whole curriculum around the Illinois physical education standards. And it just blossomed into a group there in Chicago for a number of years. I left in 2016, first going to Mexico. I was there for 2 years. And then I moved to Antigua in 2018. And capoeira has been a part of that journey every single step of the way.
So, yeah, that's something I hope that maybe can get more integrated is having, you know, martial arts or, you know, capoeira, whatever arts integrated in with the, you know, the school system. There's so many values that, you know, come from training that should be, I feel like should be, you know, more, there should be more exposure to the young people to, you know, be able to make better choices and stuff. You know, I'm guilty of it. You know, we're all into, you know, our technology, and, you know, I'm in my phone and on my computer just as much as the next person. But I think we definitely need more interaction with each other, especially, you know, being in the post COVID, we've really just kind of unlearned how to connect with each other and how to be social. And Capoeira is really in a great position to be able to regain that connection between us, and, you know, not only in just the movement, but, you know, in order to be able to sing, in order to be able to learn the history and the culture, we have to communicate with each other. We have to learn the language. And so I would definitely hope that we can get more programs like that, and more awareness, and get that out to the people more, pop culture, you know, video games and some movies and stuff. Yeah, we're getting, Capoeira is getting out there a little bit more, but definitely I think we all need to do more to get that out there, to get it seen to more eyes and into more ears to help spread that.
Yeah, it's not as popular as other martial arts, but the power that is behind it, the potential for awareness and social justice movements is there. It's embedded in the history of the art.
Exactly. So kind of going along with that, what are maybe things that maybe you would like to see Capoeira? What would you like to envision for the future of Capoeira? You know, MMA and things like that have been getting more popular. Actually, this will probably kind of deviate from my question a little bit, but so, you know, there are like Capoeira competitions and whatnot, and I feel like there should be a kind of split, and there should be like a sport Capoeira and, you know, your quote unquote traditional Capoeira. So I would like to see a change, so that where we can have, you know, our Capoeira competitions, you know, Capoeira in the Olympics, where we have this, you know, specific set of rules and specific kind of structure, and then we have, you know, our, you know, quote unquote traditional Capoeira, where, you know, just like any kind of other martial art class. I think having those two separate things, one would help increase the exposure of Capoeira, and, you know, have a Capoeira for, you know, the kind of the general audience, and then you have your diehard. So that's kind of something that I would like to see in the future of the art.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those competitions like UFC and mixed martial art competitions, and even some stage like the Olympics, that's good for exposure. It's not something I necessarily want to participate in, but I think it's good for people who want to train fighters, who want to become trained fighters and want to use elements of Capoeira and be on that stage to promote it in that way. I think that can be useful in terms of helping the martial art grow in terms of popularity. Not something that I want to participate in, but I think that would be good in terms of just creating more awareness to what Capoeira is. I definitely find more value in doing the traditional aspects of Capoeira and really learning and diving deep into the history and embracing it from that perspective, as opposed to trying to win competitions. I know that that's popular and lots of people are moving in that direction, and if that's what you want to do, that's fine. It's just not why I do Capoeira.
So over your years of training, are there things that maybe you used to do that we don't do anymore in the training that maybe you'd like to see come back, and kind of vice versa? Are there things that we do now that you kind of wish we were doing back when you started?
You know, I can't think of anything really that comes to mind in terms of that. No, you know, right now, because I've been abroad for 8 years, anytime I get to come back and participate in the Batizado, I'm just really happy to be there, to be a part of the community. And yeah, things have evolved, but I'm just at peace just to be there. So I don't have that critical lens to say, well, we used to do it this way. Why don't we do it? That's not the perspective I come with when I come to the events. I come to just really celebrate the culture and be a part of the community for that weekend, because it's not something I get to be a part of very often. So I'm probably not the best person to answer that question. Someone who probably has exposure to a school that runs, you know, every single week, multiple times a week, and attends multiple events throughout the year, they would be better to answer that question. But for me, I just get excited in being a part of the community and having the opportunity to collaborate with others.
Right on. No, I like it. One of my answers to that would be, I would like to see more, I guess, contact or more bag work, something in your kind of traditional martial arts school. Yeah. We're hitting the kicking shields and kicking the kicking pads and stuff like that. So for capoeira, I would like to see a little more integration of, hitting targets and stuff. You know, it's a dance, but it's also a fight, and connecting a little bit more of that combat side to it, and having a little bit more of the, it's important to know what it feels like when you
make contact.
Kick somebody. Yeah.
And I appreciate that too.
You know, having that, you know, self defense, you know, it is a combat art. You gotta know what it's like to kick somebody once in a while. You gotta know what it's like to be kicked, to kind of, you know, take some of that fear, give some of that confidence. So I would like to see more of that. I would definitely like to see more training in regards to falling. And learning how to fall properly. Not too long ago, I saw a video of a Hoda, and a young lady got taken down with a hashtera and just slammed her head on the ground. It just broke my heart that, you know, and it wasn't like a super hard sweep or anything like that, but just she fell in just the worst way possible. I think that's huge. I think, and not just capoeira, every art, we should definitely be working on how to fall properly more often and earlier in the training. And some of the other arts that I've seen, it's like, oh, well, you know, when you get your black belt, or when you get to the advanced ranks, then that's what we're worried about. That's what we're worried about, falling. And it's like, no,
you need that early on.
Yeah.
Because while there are some people who will play nicely with you, others will see you as the young person and an opportunity to show out. You got to be able to defend yourself or fall properly so you don't hurt yourself and you can continue training.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I would like to see that more. So definitely going to try and get the word out there about, work on some falling. You know, if you don't know how to do it, find Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is quite popular right now. So find a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, find a judo school, and find some wrestlers, learn how to fall properly. And even if you don't use martial arts, learn how to fall properly. Another podcast that I was listening to, there was a gentleman on there, and I hate that I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but he goes to, senior citizen places and teaches them how to fall. Once you get up there in age, a fall, that's that can be the end for you. So
that's true.
Yeah, that's huge. So, yeah. So I guess I have to kind of tweak this a little bit from the usual podcast, but, is there a favorite, like movement that you have, kind of a favorite technique, or maybe a couple of kind of favorite techniques or movements that you are your go-tos or that you like, or maybe that you want to be able to do that you haven't quite, nailed?
I like Neo Luigi Compasso. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I still really want to do. I've been working on trying to master helicóptero, going both directions. That's really hard.
Mm.
There's still some acrobatic movements that I want to be able to do that I haven't been able to do. So, I mean, capoeira is one of those things where you're continuing to learn, you know, just as you master one movement, it's like, okay, but can you do it this way? Can you do it that way? And that's one of the things that I do appreciate about it is there's encouragement built in, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can always improve the movement that you've done, you know, thousands of times. There's a different little tweak that you can do to it.
Do you have maybe like a favorite song or maybe a song or two that get you hyped up or that you just really connect with or maybe has a special place for you?
Capoeira Mil More. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, no, I thank you so much for being on with me and talking little capoeira and you know, kind of telling me about your story and your journey. And now would be the point where you can there's anything that you wanted to put out there or wanted to plug or anything like that. Now is your chance to say anything that you'd like to say. And
okay.
We'll kind of close it up.
I'm on social media on Instagram and Facebook. My website, www.vlindsayphd.com, is where you can find all about my capoeira history and the work that I've done with it to date.
Right on. Well, I thank you again so much for being on with me. And I can't wait to get this out to let the others hear it. And I'll be in touch soon about that. So, yeah, thank you again.
All good. All right. Thank you.
All right. Ciao.
All right, Reggie. Take care.